You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Live from New York, it's a show that's celebrating a career-high 45 points from the librarian. So I put a bunch of books out.
Yeah, I figured that out.
I figured that out.
You kind of ruined the bit. I thought you were just going to not say anything, and as soon as one of us spoke, you were going to... There you go.
That's first things first.
There you go.
Today, why one former number two pick is skeptical about Caleb and why he should sit his first year. Meanwhile, well, Jerry Jones said he's all in. Saquon's a free agent, so is there a chance we see Saquon with a star on his helmet? And finally, again, after a 45-point, 16-rebound, 5-steal performance, how high? I mean, look at that one, bro. You said he was Hakeem Olajuwon.
Oh, don't sleep. Wimby had a tough night, but
how many
I'm
points
still
did
riding with him.
How many points did he have?
Ten. He was due for a bad game.
You know what the other part
you
of it
know
is?
You want to know something? Neither
Knicks
team's
tiers.
On the tiers.
Really?
Yeah. Neither both teams stink.
And Shingun wasn't even in the, like, what is it called?
Oh, the top 25 players?
King
well,
of the hill.
He wasn't even close to the
wasn't
king.
Even
he wasn't
down
he wasn't even within no, spitting wasn't. Distance of the hill. So,
okay, well, right. We're going to dig into it right now. We start with Shingun's 45-point
no, we don't.
Dismantling
we
of the
do
Spurs.
We do not start with that.
5 steals. We'll talk about the Suns. Phoenix goes into Denver and snaps the Nuggets post-All-Star undefeated streak. KD was cold in the fourth, in a bad way cold. Hot in overtime, 8 quick points, 35 on the night. Suns currently in sixth place. Here's the odds to win the West. Denver's at number one, obviously. Then Bruce Clippers, who we may or may not abandon during next week's prediction week. OKC, Phoenix at four, and then Minnesota, who for the record are in first place. So, Brew, are people sleeping on the Suns?
No, they're not. I was on the herd with Colin just before our show,
oh,
and he threw out there, Nick, that if Phoenix gets to the conference finals, is that a bad season? Now, they've been so disappointing since Kevin Durant got there, since Bradley Beal got there, a lot of it's injuries, but still, that honestly right now I would be like, yeah, that's pretty good. They losing six to the Nuggets in the finals, conference finals. You're not bad.
Close sweep.
But overall, we know when they got Durant, when they got Beal, it was finals championship or bust.
Before not even, they got Beal.
It's not even finals or bust. Right. For
when
Durant,
they got Durant.
It's not even get to the finals or bust. It is championship or bust because they were in the finals a few years ago. So, no, people aren't sleeping on them. They've been terribly disappointed. I know, again, injuries has been a huge part. But what also has been a huge part is they are the worst fourth quarter team in basketball.
Yeah.
And look at this graphic. Offensive rating worse. Net rating. You're getting outscored by 15 points a game in the fourth quarter? Assisted turnover, turnover rate. And what all of that says is, where's the point guard? That's what all of that says. That's an indictment on Frank Vogel. It's an indictment on Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal when he plays, but also their front office. Because you didn't see the value and importance of having a point guard. Yeah, you can't just say because Devin Booker, who is awesome, can average 6.8 assists a game that he can play point.
He's not a point.
Right. Or Durant can get you five,
can
and Beal can get you five
I
assists.
Push back on that a little? I mean, they don't have a point guard for the first three quarters either.
Yeah, but it's not the same as in the fourth quarter. When in the fourth quarter, every possession is more important. The defense is buckling down more. And so getting the ball to the right guys in the right positions, controlling tempo, calming things down. No, no, we're going to slow it. We're going to eat a little clock. Okay. All of that.
You know.
They don't have the guy to do that. I mean, Chris Paul led him to the finals. I mean, because he's a point guard.
Everything Bruce saying is correct. I mean, they're not sleeping on them as a champion, which is that I was in a wonderful poker room on the outskirts of Phoenix when Kevin Durant was traded for. It was when we were at the Super Bowl. I just remember exactly where
we were working.
Yeah, we were grinding tape.
Okay, you guys
were at a poker table.
No chance. It was like it was a damn near midnight when it happened. You guys were both
sound asleep. That's when the grind.
But regardless, I just remember because a guy got up from the game and ran to the little kiosk putting a bet in on the Suns. He was being traded to Phoenix. People were excited. And later in the game, somebody mentioned like he was so happy about the bet he had made because the Suns had all of a sudden now the odds had changed and they were the second favorites to win the title right there nipping on the heels of whomever the favorites at the time was. I don't quite remember. It might have been Boston. I'm not sure who it was. Regardless, that's what we thought last year. Yeah. And then it was like, oh, Durant got hurt. And then when he came back, he got hurt in warmups. And then they went further all in by trading whatever flexibility they had left for Bradley Beal. And now, and I know it feels unfair because we haven't talked much about him. It's because it was football season. Now they get a good win. We're kind of coming down on them. But all year long, the Suns just being, they're fine,
right,
is a wild disappointment. When Kevin Durant went there, the entire idea, I think, that we thought behind it was, all right, this is his chance. Yep. This is Durant's chance after all the Barkley bus path, you know, the rider instead of bus driver. This is a team that, you know, had just been to the finals but hadn't quite gotten there, that had a really good record at the time when they went and got him, that is saying, you know what? This is Kevin Durant's chance to be the guy on a team that credibly can win the title, which a lot of people thought he could have been in Brooklyn, and that never got off the ground. And now in Phoenix, just like they're fine. And I don't think, to me, it is shocking. And I understand that Booker's out right now. I get that. But it's not like an Embiid situation or even a Ja situation. He'll be back. I don't think anyone believes in this team. I don't think anyone looks at the Suns, even though Durant's having another good year, Booker's still Booker, and looks at them as even a B-list contender, which is wildly disappointing. And if people didn't stay up to watch the game last night, Wilds did because he had to send his Nuggets tweet, but the fourth quarter woes happened again.
Yeah.
It was a 12-0 Denver run from down 9 to up 3 in the final 3 minutes of the game. Then KD hit a game-tying 3, and then the Suns won in overtime. But the exact stuff Bruce talking about of this team falling apart in the fourth quarter happened. They were just able to overcome it in overtime. And so it is very disappointing for what this team could be or was supposed to be.
Quickly, it's actually and I'm not even trying to be funny. It's very similar to Brooklyn. Now, I know Brooklyn was even more injury.
And Brooklyn was dysfunction, too, because of the Kyrie and the Vax and all that stuff.
But, you know, still, I mean, this is essentially the same thing. It's like, oh, they're going there. They got high hopes. They got great talent.
Yeah.
And nothing is coming up.
Can I pitch you on an alternative theory?
Yeah.
That maybe it's one part point guard, but do you think it's any part just like, I don't know, choking in crunch time? Like, they had 12 points in the fourth, and then Kevin Durant turned it on in overtime. Josh made this graphic. It's similar to yours about point differential. The quarters 1-3, they're great.
Right.
Like, they can play, and like you said, in the fourth quarter, they fall apart. And I want to pair this with Devin Booker, because when I put out that, you know, they're not going to be able to beat the Nuggets, everyone's like, well, Booker wasn't even there. Kevin, you didn't watch Devin. I'm like, I know Booker wasn't there. Devin Booker averages in elimination games last year against the Nuggets. You know how many points he had? 12.
Well, and then the year before, they were down 100 at halftime. Right.
And he had 11.
Yeah.
And then against the Bucks in the finals, he had 19, which was quiet 19.
Right, right.
So, but Kevin Durant's the guy. Like, in overtime, he took over.
Right.
But do you buy that there's a little bit of, like, shrinking in the moment?
Well, possibly with Booker. And I hate to say that because I love Book, but possibly, because you just brought up the evidence. Certainly not Kevin Durant. No. There's no reason for him to shrink. I mean, he's already obviously been on the biggest stage. Beal, who knows? But Beal's a third option. But I think this is akin to, I guess, a point guard. They don't have a leader, and the leader obviously doesn't have to be the point guard. But Durant, by his own admission, is not really a leader.
Well, he's changed on that.
Yeah, he I'm not sure where
he actually changed.
Where is that now? That Beal, I don't know. Book, I haven't seen it from Book. Like, who's the leader on this team? Not even just crunch time, but just in general.
Right. Well, the guy taking Chris Paul's place as far, you know what I mean, floor general and leader. But I don't think that's their problem. I think the problem is the one that I pointed out in the summer, and I'm not trying to, I know I very often try to give myself credit. This is not because I was not the only one doing this at the time, which is this is a ridiculously built team.
Yeah.
You just have, in my humble opinion, like a slightly worse version of the same player three times as your big three. You, as far as a score first wing, who right. The best thing they do is score the ball. Kevin Durant, one of the greatest players ever.
You got three guys like that.
That's my point. And that's where all their assets went. That's where all their cap space went. That's where, and then so I. That's why, if you remember, I didn't like the Beal trade because I was like, man, you only have one shot to shoot, and to just get another scoring wing doesn't make sense to me. And then with their other shot was Ayton, who I understand in limited value, and Nurkic has been good for them, but it doesn't to me add. The team doesn't make sense from a championship contender. Like, say what you will about the Bucks or the Celtics or the Nuggets, but those teams make sense. It's like, okay, right, like just from a not just how talented the players are, but the roles that they play. Even the Lakers make sense from the positions that they're playing.
Well, you're right in the role. That's where, again, a point guard instead of Beal might have worked. Because a point guard now probably puts Beal on the bench. He's got to be maybe your sixth man. But I do think I will give their front office credit for once they decided we're going with these three scores, they've actually done a good job of putting around. Yeah. I mean, Royce O'Neal, and Grayson Allen's having a year of his career.
Quickly, Brew, before we move on to the Denver side of things, one of your common refrains about your Nets, they didn't get a chance.
They didn't get it. They didn't. You know it. You like to make fun of me, but you know it's true. If they had been healthy, my feet would have been kicked up. I'd have been eating sandwiches up in here. Okay. That's the real.
Okay. So I'm going to ask nicely, open a can of worms. The Phoenix Big Three has only played 23 games together. Does that make you feel more optimistic that perhaps they're like the Nets, that if they can play a little bit more together, you could have your feet on the table?
I don't think they're as good as the Nets were potentially. Like, Beal's not as good as Kyrie. Do we agree with that?
Yeah.
And Booker's great. He's probably not as good as James Harden.
At least Harden
at that time. I mean, Harden is an all-time great. Obviously, Durant.
Yeah.
And Kyrie is not going to go down as like a top 20, 30 player, but all-time
skills.
But
also, Durant is probably 6%
was better worse. Than.
Right. Yeah, I mean, just because of his, you know what I mean? He's probably getting, he's still their best player and still an all-NBA level player and a great player, not just historically, but right now. But he's probably a little worse than he was 2 years ago because at his age.
What? You don't think so?
You? Oh. You're getting better every day, buddy.
No. Oh. 2 years ago? 2 years?
2 years? Go watch your tape 2 years ago. Not that great. You're getting way better. You're getting way better.
You had a lot to learn. Man.
That's too much.
Hey, we used to talk about it all the time.
Denver.
Before you jump on
Denver
the
Denver was riding a 6-game win streak. After the game, Jamal Murray, not happy. He really wanted this one. Take a listen.
We just got to come back with the right energy and effort for next game. You know, we can't have this game in our head. Obviously, it's terrible right now. It's such a winnable game. That might be, like, top one of the worst losses we've had, and that's on us. I'm not taking away from them, but they shot really well, and at the same time, we didn't play our greatest. We fought, and then we lose again in the last five. So it's just tough. It's just tough because I know I could have played better.
Yeah. I like that. Go ahead, your reaction. I love it.
I don't like it. You took my thunder.
So I'm trying to be like you.
I do love the attitude, man. I mean, they just won 6 straight games.
Yep.
The last 4 of them against playoff or play-in teams being the Lakers, which obviously is a good team. And they could have easily – now, you probably don't come out and say this, but they could have easily had the attitude and the demeanor of it's 1 of 82. It happens. We had them. We kind of let them go of the rope. But Jamal Murray's upset. One of the worst losses we've had?
Yes.
I mean, come on. It's not even close to that. And he said, I need to play better. 28-9-7 is what Jamal Murray had on base, close to 50% shooting. So I just love this attitude, Nick, that these guys are like, they're not prima donnas at all. Jamal Murray doesn't seem to even be upset that he didn't make the All-Star team. You know what I mean? Like, no, this dude is great. And we know Jokic is just totally cool. So I like it. I like that attitude.
Just to build on that, I don't know if you saw Draymond's post-Celtics game podcast. One of the things that he said was when he was kind of explaining their
defensive plan. Let Jalen Brown shoot. He shoots 34%. Not on wide open threes,
This is what jumped out. You go into that game with 3-0 on the road trip, you've got a free swing. So like, hey, let's try something. Mm-hmm. You know, if we lose,
they had a good road
so trip. Be it. So it just feels like that. And maybe Draymond's right. Maybe you have to look at it like a marathon, not a sprint. But it feels like from that quote and compared to Jamal Murray's quote, Jamal Murray wants to win every game, and Draymond's taking a longer view. I personally like the we're going to win every game.
Well, as much as I poke at Draymond, I'm not going to – I think he – for a guy who was, you know, a cornerstone of a team that went to six consecutive finals, you know what I mean? The longer view might be smart.
Right.
But I don't actually want to give my reaction to this. I want to give you – you have – for people that are up on, you know, on Twitter after Nuggets games.
Yeah. Not everyone, but
almost everyone. Brew is not
– I can't find you on Twitter, man. It's like
– you might have me blocked.
Regardless, Wilds has been very adamant that the Nuggets championship – in upcoming is a fait accompli. It is a guarantee. Yep. No one can beat them. And then on television, you have. It's not that you haven't supported them, but I don't think our audience knows how confident you are.
More measured on television.
Yeah, but go ahead.
Let the Tiger.
But I want to hear. I want to hear what you think about.
You know what? He's gun shy. Because last time he let the Tiger out, he brought a freaking deer in here.
Yeah, and his antlers fell off.
And they fell apart.
Yeah, so that didn't work. It was one antler fell off because it was
shedding.
Something season. Yeah. You rubbed it up against a tree trunk. That's just biological fact, Gus.
Okay,
not necessarily fine. I do not think any team can beat the Denver Nuggets in a 7-game series. I think they are gunning for the one seed, and then no one's going in there. And can you steal one game in Denver? Maybe. I think that's why Jamal Murray was so upset. Like, man, we cannot give away any of these games. I think it's largely going to be pretty boring. And
boring. So they're not even going to be pushed.
I don't know. Was last year boring? Maybe not boring, but
I
think it's
because it was their first run.
It's going to feel like this is a fait accompli, which makes Thursday's game all the more important. Celtics lost last second. Yep. I mean, this game went to overtime, but Joker had a shot at the buzzer last second. It's perfect. We both lost.
Yep.
Now we're going to meet in Denver. It's going to be a little finals preview, and we're going to see teams going full steam ahead, and I think Denver comes out and wins, and I'm going to tweet – no one's beating Denver in a 7-game
series. What if Boston beats them?
He's still going to say no.
I'm still going to tweet it because I'm pot committed.
Because I think your attitude is it's not a big game if you just think it don't matter because Denver's going to win.
Oh, no, it matters.
Just so okay, here, so then.
It's a must win.
Double must win then. Must win for Boston, too. Because, by the way, Denver's not going to have home court against Boston.
Right.
But this is the reason I wanted you to say that to the audience. Was A, so they knew where you were. But also, I just totally disagree with that. Like the last half dozen, five of the last six, really, teams that repeated, it felt inevitable. And this one does not. So, Brew, so here's who they are. The 18 Warriors, it felt like, okay, it's going to take a disaster.
Yeah,
the 13 Heat, now they, in the finals, it didn't feel inevitable, but during the year when they had the 27-game winning streak, LeBron's at his peak, it feels inevitable. The 2010 Lakers, it felt like they could lose to the Celtics, but it felt nobody in the West was going, you know what I mean, was going to beat them. Obviously, the 01 Lakers, when they got their second title, that was the best Lakers team there was. The 97 Bulls followed the 72 wins with 69 wins or 68 wins, whatever it was. Those teams felt inevitable. This team, to me, feels more like the Bucks the year after they won the title. Like, oh, yeah. They should be right there. And that Bucks team, by the way.
Oh, I don't feel like
that. I'm going to disagree.
I don't feel like that.
Look, and I'll throw this out at the – I don't remember the exact what was going on, but the three-peat with the Lakers, so the second championship, the Spurs were still there. You know what I mean? The Duncan and David Robinson even at that point. So the Spurs still were a tough team. So that, it was more viewed as the will the Lakers get past the Spurs, and then once you do that, you're going to route whoever's in the East.
The, just if I may, just real quick, because I want to remind people what the Bucks the year after they won the championship had the, just as good of a record as the year before. Giannis was just as good. Middleton got hurt, and Tatum went crazy in that game seven. They lost in round two. That wasn't the Bucks team that, you know what I mean, looked flawed throughout the year and lost to Miami. And the point I'm making is, I think I'm not acting like I don't think the Nuggets can win the title. I think they are the heavy favorites in the West. But it doesn't feel – they don't feel as inevitable to me as they seem to feel to you. And those other teams that repeated, even if they ended up facing adversity, felt to me throughout those regular seasons, it is going to take a massive shock for that team not to repeat.
I would disagree. Because, again, the Kobe – LeBron was with the Cavs. That was his last year with the Cavs, right?
Yeah, that's
right. And they were, I mean, we all thought LeBron had a chance to win it with Cleveland. So I don't think it was – I think some of these other teams, I don't think they all felt like, oh, they're definitely getting it done. Okay. I'm somewhere in between you guys, but more with you.
Yeah, predictions.
I mean, not inevitable,
week.
But I mean –
yeah, it's pretty inevitable. They'd be like, oh, it's so – oh, the altitude is so much, I can't breathe. Finally, MVP odds, Joker at one, SGA, Luka, Giannis. And finally, the best player on the best team with the best record. At five, it just feels unfair.
What?
Oh, I'm okay.
You don't think it's strange?
No.
They got the best record.
It is that. I'm gonna.
Is that how you would vote? I love you.
I mean, kind of.
And you would vote best player on best team.
Well, what's the point of playing? You want to have the.
That is not the MVP of the league. Well, I'm going to break something. That is what the championship trophy is for.
Give it to Wemby.
That's what.
He got 12 wins. Yeah, he's great.
Let's just do it.
You don't think Tatum deserves to be higher than five?
Why?
For having the best record in the league?
Well, look, Nick, go ahead now.
No, that's all I'm saying.
I can't.
It's a question about Joker. He started throwing it.
It's Brew. It's going to be a problem. I can't argue sports with this man on this topic.
Is that outrageous?
I hate when people, because I am a voter, I hate when people say it's just best player on best team, especially ex-athletes. I'm like, what are you talking about? It might be. It might be, but it's not a given.
What do you want him to do?
What do you ask the question?
The question's about Joker, but I kind of made it about Tatum.
Changing it, evidently.
Okay. Well, here's what, look. Tatum, could he be higher? Look at those odds.
Does he deserve to be fifth?
I think he should be higher than
That's
fifth.
All I'm saying.
Right now, Nick, and you know, I think Luka's
that's
back.
Fine. That's Luka's fine.
Got okay. that freaking eight seed. They just lost five
thank
or six.
You. So now
they got
third.
Luka's got to move down.
No, he would still have him behind Giannis. He wouldn't have him third. He would just move Luka down, is what he's saying. But this idea, Wilds, to answer the question, Jokic more likely win MVP because I don't know who else. Giannis is hurt. I don't know who's going to win it.
And here's the other thing, Nick. As great as Giannis is playing, for half of the season, more so at this point, they've been viewed as a disappointment.
Yeah, but if they end up with a better record than Denver, that won't matter. Like this idea.
Luka's down. Giannis is down. Now Tatum's in third.
Yeah. Okay.
He could be third. He could be third. I'll be fine with him being third. There's nobody to beat Jokic.
I mean, SGA is the best MVP. Chance, and I don't think he's going to do it. But I have to address this. There are different – we give out best actor and best cinematography.
Yeah.
There are different categories for different things. There is a championship trophy and an MVP of the championship series.
Yep.
That award exists. There is a separate award for the league's most valuable player in the regular season.
Yeah.
And the idea that it can only come from the team with the best record.
Not only.
What do you mean?
Well, he's just
that's what you were saying.
That is what you were saying.
No, I'm not saying only.
What
I'm
is the case the for Tatum in, other than the Celtics record?
He's pretty – I don't know. I mean, he's averaging a game.
Okay, nothing close to any of those guys. So what
27 is
pretty good.
More than
Jokic.
Well, if you average 27
– 8 boards. I think you're overstating it a little. 27, 8. And five.
No,
is
I, think
he's
Tatum's, I think
on
Tatum's
on route to delivering your team to the top of the
he's
East.
He's not the MVP, but he's third.
Let him score 37 and be in fourth place so he can win the MVP.
No,
you think that's
that
what
guy's
he
not going to win the MVP.
Because Luka shouldn't.
Luka's in third. Luka's in third. High usage. They win fewer games.
I'm glad he's jumping on you because this is how I was with Brock Purdy. And he was, I mean, Purdy had more.
Because you
really
guys
nice
are.
Case. Purdy had a nice case. But Nick is going crazy.
And what more can Tatum do? Not be one of the worst, you know, final minute players
well, that's
in the league.
That's, he was almost that's what kills Tatum.
You know the other
the
thing that kills Tatum?
Right.
He's not the MVP.
Because why? They
same thing that kills
games?
Purdy.
No, the clutch play, he hasn't been great.
He doesn't have a lot of chances because they're winning games by 50 points. They're winning games by 50 points. He's not clutch enough. I want to see it.
No,
like
I'll show
Purdy
you the numbers.
I want to see him come back.
No.
I want to see him.
You know what, don't you know even like Tatum.
By 50
you
points.
You're the biggest Tatum
you know
hater in
happen
the media. And you're just.
I'm the mayor of Ferris.
You know what will happen if Tatum has a great game tomorrow night against Denver in the clutch?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ryan Leaf joined the Dan Patrick Show and said, hey, let's pump the brakes a little bit on what Caleb is going to be able to do right away in the NFL. Take a listen.
Well, because 75% of what he made him so great in college is not transferable to the NFL. He's not going to be able to do that. He can't do what he did in college 75% of the time and be successful at the NFL level. He can do the 25% part at the NFL level, but he needs some time. He needs to get under center. He needs to understand how to throw on time, on platform, from the pocket. What he can do off platform is what makes him so exciting, because he may be one of the most talented quarterbacks in this year's draft and many in the past year's draft.
Okay. Your reaction?
It's just totally wrong. I like Ryan. I respect Ryan. That sounds to me, and I don't think this is Ryan, but it sounds like someone that has only watched the highlights.
The highlights are just college stuff. And, you know, maybe a few if you could in the NFL, but it's going to be hard. Because the stuff that we run during the show,
yeah,
they're
awesome.
Like, oh, my God, he's running around. He's yeah, doing crazy Johnny Manziel stuff.
Yeah.
Last year, his down year, in a clean pocket, 292 pass attempts, 75%. 10 yards per attempt, 22 touchdowns, one turnover. Give me a break. Just give me a break. Now, is there some...
This is one right here.
Yeah, this is one. This is like a Mahomes one, but also will that work in the NFL? I get that. The only knock on Caleb, other than the off the field, which isn't really off the field, it's just people are like, you know, trying to find ways to say, I don't think he's man enough. Because he cried and because he paints his nails as an homage to his mother. Or they don't like the fact that he made $10 million bucks and lived in a sweet-ass condo in college. But, you know, good for him. The other thing was, when I say Mahomes-esque, Mahomes' last 2 years at Texas Tech was sacked 64 times. People were like, oh, he's going to, you know, he takes too many sacks. But if you listen to him talk about it, or really the people around him talk about it, was he knew if we don't score, we lose. So I am going to try to hang in there and make every play. Caleb last year was sacked 54, or the last 2 years was sacked. Caleb was sacked 64 times, Mahomes 54 times last 2 years. Pardon me. Both, you know, 27 a year versus 32 a year. Point being that Caleb's doing the same thing. USC's defense was so bad that he had to try to make every play. This idea that he can't play from the pocket, it just, to me, I watched him. It's not what I saw.
Well, no, I think you make some good points. And I think he had to play like that, which is one thing I like and I think will help him at the next level, is he didn't have all the best receivers in the world, the best offensive line in the country. He had to make a lot of those plays on his own, all right? I like that because I do think sometimes – we'll see if it continues with the Bryce Harper. But sometimes
– Bryce Young.
Bryce Young. Sometimes your receivers are so great. Your line is so great. You're at freaking Alabama and, you know, everybody's wide open the first or second option.
All right.
Mac Jones.
Sorry.
I'm just saying, though. So notice a lot of the top quarterbacks come from programs that aren't the most touted in the country. So I like that. I do think, Nick, there is some legitimacy – to, like, the stuff about 75% of what he does can't do it in NFL. No, you can't do it because we see Mahomes do it. All right, so we know you can do it. But I do think, Nick, there is legitimacy to him being more on time. Like, and it's not that he hasn't done it at all, but I think that's going to be one of the challenges or one of the things he has to learn and get better at, is to be more of an on-time passer in the NFL. And then when you need to do that stuff that he does so well, that's when it'll be good.
Here's a Josh on time to throw. Josh went to USC, so this was a special graphic that he made. Under 2.5 seconds. 10 touchdowns, 1 interception. When he's able to extend the pocket a little bit, completion percentage goes down.
Of course.
But 20 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. So either way, he's good. Excellent.
And again, this was his down year.
Yeah.
That's the thing. People, and this is what is so frustrating to me. There's a great Mike Tomlin clip. And shout out to Ryan Clark. He did it with Ryan Clark on The Pivot a couple years ago, where Tomlin talked about the draft. And he's like, man, I love when I hear other teams talk about anything other than pedigree. And by pedigree, he didn't mean like how many star recruit you were, but he meant about tangibles, your size, your strength, your athleticism. He said, because that means they're focused on the wrong stuff, because everything else is about coaching. Everything, you know what I mean? Oh, this guy has bad technique. He's like, that's coaching.
Yeah.
And I want to coach. So when I am looking at Caleb Williams, aside from the fact he might be an inch and a half shorter than would be ideal, but so is Mahomes. He checks every box on what can you do. So then, if it is, hey, in the pros, get it out quicker. Don't always hunt for the huge play. That is coaching.
I buy that.
And I don't think he's a really sharp kid. So I think he will do that. I think at times, He is being penalized right now for understanding what the limitations of his specific team were, and that if I'm not, you know, making huge plays, we can't compete. And so I think that's part of what's happening here. I also think everybody knows he is going number one, and he's the clear-cut best guy. We got a lot of time till the draft, so people are going to try to pick on that.
So here's what else Ryan said about his development plan. Take a listen.
He is a guy that I don't think can be a starter on day one. And I think they wanted to do that with Justin Fields, but like any team that drafts any quarterback in the top five, you're expected to play immediately. And unfortunately, I don't think he's a starting quarterback this year.
Okay, Brew, your reaction.
Look, I generally like when rookie quarterbacks sit the first year. I mean, it's not for everybody. Like C.J. Stroud didn't need to do it. But I do wish more teams would at least make that an option. Just because I drafted the guy number one, number two, whatever, doesn't mean I'm throwing him right in to start. Okay, Jordan Love, we see how he looks like he's probably going to be a star. Okay, he sat. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers. Mahomes didn't start his first year. Mm-hmm. Lamar started, you know, come off the bench initially. Now, here's the – so I don't hate that from Ryan Leaf, but all those situations I just named, Rodgers had Favre and Mike McCarthy. Love had Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers. Mahomes had, they were Andy playoff Reed team, Andy Reid and Alex Smith. And Lamar had Joe Flacco, a Super Bowl winning coach, John Harbaugh, Super Bowl winning coach, quarterback, and a playoff team. So in that situation, when you sit, you're going to learn, okay? But in Chicago, they tried it with Justin Fields. They remember Andy Dalton was the starter. If you're in a bad organization, at least has been with quarterbacks for 70 years or so, all right, then you, I don't know, I don't hate the idea, but I hope he learns. If he sits in Chicago, is he really going to learn anything?
So I think you actually do learn, even if you're not learning from the quarterback in front of you, just from being in the meetings and the
Well, you know what I mean? A good organization.
You hope that they improved at offensive coordinator this offseason. So I actually don't hate this idea for any of the parties, which is if the reports, latest reports are right, which is they're looking at maybe only getting a third round pick for Justin Fields. I don't hate the idea of the Bears drafting Caleb and saying, hey, you're going to sit in the beginning.
Behind Justin Fields?
Yeah. And with the let me explain why. Because this goes to somewhat of the pressure that we talked about the other day. Those fans in Chicago right now, a lot of them want Justin.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think if you sit behind Justin and he struggles mightily, then they're happy when you come in. If you sit behind Justin and he plays decent, and then the Bears all of a sudden get a much better draft pick in return and you take over, then it's better for all parties.
What if he plays really well?
Okay, well, that's one of them, as Marlo Samfield would say, one of them good problems. Then the Bears have a bounty of assets to figure out what to do with.
I think the bigger problem is, and I will admit, Justin would really have no choice but to try to play his best because you want to continue to play in the league. But, man, that locker room, I got to think that locker room would be a mess. I just think it's human nature. Justin Fields knows. This is the guy they brought in to replace me. They think he's better than
me. It wasn't a mess when Alex young. Smith and Mahomes.
Yeah, but Alex Smith was a lot older and had proven he's a mediocre quarterback.
He won the division a couple years in a row. Like, he did his job. He was a pro.
He could even see.
I don't think they're going to do it, but I wouldn't hate it.
Lakers must win. And Shingun highlights next. At the old Staples Center tonight, Lake Show. Although Bitcoin is coming back. Lake Show have currently lost six of their last seven to Sacramento. LA currently in ninth, 2.5 games away from escaping the play-in. Yeah. I dusted this one off from my old franchise files.
Okay.
Must win?
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Must win?
Yeah, so here's the deal. Lakers 0-2 against the Kings this year. They've got two against them in the next week. Obviously, first tiebreaker when it comes to standing stuff is head-to-head, so their only hope is to win the next two and then win a different tiebreaker, because I think the Lakers can be in the play-in and be fine. I don't think anyone can be in the 9-10 part of the play-in and be fine. You can make the playoffs, but by the time you then make the playoffs from the 9-10, you're then the 8 seed playing the 1 seed, and you just, you know what I mean, expended all your energy. So they're going to have to catch teams. And if they want to get out of the play-in, they got to catch three teams. If they want to, you know, stay out of the 9-10 part of the play-in, they got to catch at least one. The Kings are the best one to catch.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, they got to win.
Okay.
That's my answer.
Must win.
Yes.
No, not a must win. Everything you said is right. You want to move up. Heck, you want to avoid Golden State, which is only a half game behind you.
Man.
All right. But, no. Anthony Davis, scoff at it if you like. He was right. No matter where we're seated at. So they're not. I know you'd like to win because this team has had your number. But the Kings, who haven't done much in the last few decades, having your number, and versus the Nuggets, who just won a championship last year, having your number, and have the best player in the league, those are different things. So if Sacramento were to see the Lakers in the playoffs, even if they beat them tonight, Lakers.
Oh, I agree with that part of it. But Sacramento's not going to see the Lakers in the playoffs unless they both make the conference finals.
Or
even the play-in, that's fine. My point is, in my opinion, because of what Wilds was saying about the Lakers' road woes and because of the kind of emotional math of having to win back-to-back must-win games and then go on the road to play the one seed, which is the path for anybody that's a 9-10, I think the Lakers, if they're going to have a chance at a real playoff run, need to be at the 7 line or better when the play-in starts. I think if they're at the 7 line and you're at home at Staples for one play-in game, fine, so be it. They've done that twice.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They did that, or I don't know if they're home or the road, but it didn't matter. They've won from there twice. I don't think from the 9 line they're going to get there.
I buy that.
And so I think they need to win.
You don't want to have a play-in must win. So tonight's a must-win. Does that make sense?
No.
Coming up next, we're discussing Saquon to Dallas. Next. Saquon's a free agent. Earlier this year, Jerry Jones said Dallas was all in. So, will Jerry put a star on Saquon's helmet? I always like when he says that at the draft. Cowboys could upgrade their running game, which was perfectly mediocre. 20th in rush percentage, 14th in yards. 15th in touchdowns, 20th in yards per rush, and 19th in 10-yard runs. So, Nick, what's wrong?
Nothing. Ask questions.
Should the Cowboys target Saquon?
No.
Come on.
That mediocre rush offense really hurt them, which is why they were first in the league in points. 1 year after having a mediocre rush offense and being third in the league in points, and 1 year after having a mediocre rush offense and being first in the league in points.
Throwing an alley-oop to Brewer here.
No, their problem is playoff performance.
Coming through the air, baby.
No, hold on, okay, bro. I mean, their problem is playoff performances. You think Saquon would have helped them in that playoff
game?
I don't know
if Saquon would throw the ball to the Packers. I think he would rush the ball.
Okay, I think their defense was awful. I think their offense was awful in that playoff game. The idea that the Dallas Cowboys should target a high-priced, big-name running back is the most ridiculous thing I can imagine. It is on the Cowboys' list of problems. Like, should we spend a bunch of money on maybe the most fungible position in the sport? Of course they shouldn't. What are we talking about? They did this before with Zeke.
Well, right. Here's the thing. You say a high-priced, big-name back. Is there such a thing anymore?
Yes, this one.
Are you going to have
–
really?
Just him.
What's he going to get?
At least 10
Seven
million.
Or – really?
Okay.
Well, you sure?
I think he will be one of the five highest-paid backs in the league. How about that? How about that? Do we agree? After they just did that with Tony Pollard. Who are the five highest-paid backs
in
the league?
Running backs. They are saying this might be the best running back market ever because so many guys are on the free agent market. And so I don't know. I hate it for the running backs, but business is business. I don't know that you're going to have to overpay. I wouldn't break the bank for Saquon Barkley because, one, he's injury prone. All right? But I would want to get him, and this is where I disagree with you, Nick. I think the run game, like I do, as good as Dak was in the regular season, I still think we saw when push came to shove that Dak, they need a running game to be like the meat of that offense.
So draft
and then
the
let
guy.
Dak do his stuff. In the red zone, that was a problem.
So draft they could've used the guy.
Well, and look, they got Dowdle, so he can be with the, you know, second string. Because here's the thing. I love Pollard saying he wants to come back, even if it's less money. We'll see how much less. But Pollard and Saquon, that is a nice duo. And I'm not talking about breaking the bank. I'm just saying Saquon is a guy that could take some hits. And my only concern is injuries. Yeah. But McCaffrey used to be injury prone. And now he's obviously been healthy. So if you can get him healthy, again, not breaking the bank, but I'd look at him. I'd be interested.
Yeah, I mean, listen. Yeah.
Definitely. Because you don't think they need, like, a meat eater in the backfield?
No, hold on a second. I don't think Saquon's a meat eater, first of all. I think Saquon's an explosive player when he's healthy, which has been 1 year. Or 1.5 years, which I guess really means 1 year. Do you think Saquon is the best running back available in free agency?
Well, Henry is 30.
Yeah,
that's right. The challenge there.
So, okay.
Josh Jacobs, isn't he?
Yeah. Do you think Saquon's the best?
Yes.
Okay. So we think he's going to get the most money in free agency, right?
Probably.
Okay.
I don't know how much
the
top back's going to get.
That's fine. But if we agree, whatever that number is, that Saquon's going to get the biggest contract of any running back in free agency, the question we're asking is, should the Dallas Cowboys, with their limited resources, give out the biggest running back contract of this free agency period? My answer is that would be ridiculous.
Okay.
Do you disagree?
Well, they don't run the ball well.
If they're trying to get better, how are they going to get better?
I also think they should go get.
They should draft a guy.
But it's not necessarily going to. You got Pacheco worked for you, so you're just like draft a guy. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who you drafted in the first round, didn't.
Hold on. You're right. I didn't say they should spend a first round pick on it. Ravens have a good run game.
Yeah, but if
they have
the
a high priced guy. Okay, what about the Browns after their high priced running back?
That's right. But you know what? We saw the Cowboys without Zeke last year, and it wasn't what the Browns or the Ravens
guys,
had.
They were the highest scoring team in the league.
But the red zone, they weren't great. They got better as the season went on. But the run game wasn't.
Guys.
Because you don't have Mahomes or Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson.
That's going to fall.
Right,
no,
there you
not
go.
Catching it. I hope that's
the tomato right. can.
I'll tell you,
that's what they beat up.
He's in a tomato can.
No. You guys are. Can I tell you something? What you guys are doing right now?
This one's on topic.
Can I tell you what you guys are doing right now?
What?
You guys are encouraging Jerry Jones to do something that, if he does, I think could easily be used as a reason the Cowboys are a silly team. Because instead of addressing the actual needs, instead of addressing the not as glamorous position, what does Jerry do in free agency? Goes and signs the big name.
He told us he was all in.
Don't pay. Look, if they overpay him, sure. But if you can get him for a good price.
Drew, why? What is this world where the guy who's going to get the most money in his position is going to take a discount? What are we?
Well, not a discount. I'm just wondering who's going to offer him $10 million a year.
Well, they're okay. I mean, I guess I mean, two for 16, I wouldn't hate it, but that is
okay,
not.
Okay, there you go.
But that is not what the Cowboys.
Who's offering him two for $25 million?
Well, okay, well, that's
$20 million.
Now we're at 12 and a half.
$20 million.
Or, okay, I bet the Texans would. I bet the Chicago Bears.
So let the Texans sign him.
I bet the
Patriots. And now Cowboys
might.
Are the second best team in Texas. If what? Jerry's good with that, he's got his giant scoreboard. That's all he's got.
I guess maybe we have different opinions on how much impact Saquon Barkley at any point in his career has had on winning.
Think he's gonna be good?
Well, based on the Penn State film,
I like him.
McCaffrey didn't affect Carolina later. Right, well, thank you.
Wow.
Baker.
He's
ask
not
Baker.
McCaffrey.
Ask Baker. They were 1-6 with Baker and McCaffrey.
God. Live from New York, it's the show that's grinding Marvin Harrison Jr. footage. He can play.
Oh, he's great.
Oh, yeah.
You guys made
put him with any quarterback. Watch the offense take off.
I'm going to tell the audience what you were talking about in the break.
I'm a little bit nervous.
He's worried, Max,
today,
out of there.
Celtics led by 22 in the fourth, lost to the Cavs. Why one player actually said the loss was good for the Celtics.
Yeah.
It was Porzingis. Meanwhile, Zion says he'll join the dunk contest if he's an all-star.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But right now, well, it's time for the best segment in all sports. Last night, next to an underground poker tournament in Phoenix, while watching Şengün score 45 points on Wemby, an elite group of basketball experts, aficionados, and Dean Wade fought and toiled and burned the midnight oil to deliver the best basketball segment in all of sports media. It's an honor and a privilege to introduce the season debut of NBA Tears.
It is the season debut of NBA Tears, and there is one announcement before we get to
it. Oh, good.
The committee yesterday asked me if we could invite Broussard, given his long-standing history covering the league.
That makes sense.
To be a member of the committee. And I told them, unfortunately, the Odd Couple schedule will not allow it, but maybe sometime down the road
could. But just
that is
not
true.
To... Mm-hmm. Yeah. 7 or 10 Eastern, Fox Sports Radio, and you guys burn the midnight
oil.
Yeah,
but we start early. We say if you're not there at the beginning. So
I'm kind of there a lot because my source.
Okay, you know what? All right, first, here we go. Listen, we're deep into the season, so these teams are already off the tiers. There's the relegation tier, the sub-relegation tier, and the contraction tier, which is, I know the NBA is talking about adding teams. Maybe don't add teams. Maybe just get rid of those two and put them in Vegas and Seattle. But that leaves 18 teams still on the tiers. Let's get right to it. Bottom of the tiers, get out of the play-in. Just making the actual playoffs would be a great accomplishment. The actual 18 playoffs for any of these teams. I know people are like, hey, Orlando's fifth in the standings. They are, but they're a half game out of being in the play-in. For any of these teams, just making the real tournament would be a good accomplishment. None of them are going to win a round come the actual tournament. All right, tough out, clear ceiling. These are four tough teams that all should be proud of how they've played this season. And all at various times maybe have been like the Cavs had, I think, a 17-2 stretch. The Knicks, before the injuries hit them, were looking really good. The Pelicans, after kind of being under the radar to start the year, they found themselves, you know, right in around the 4-5 line throughout most of the season. And the Kings, sneaky right around where they were last year. But we know what their ceiling is. All these teams have a round two ceiling. All these teams can win a round, but I don't think any of them can make the conference finals, so that is where they're at. Who's getting tricked? Sexy teams, big names. They all have a big three. And somebody, maybe somebody on this show, is going to pick one of these teams to make the NBA finals. I know they're going to be, at least there will be a lot of people who decide, you know what, it's not going to be Denver. Who's it going to be? Well, the data says the Timberwolves are legit, as long as the data doesn't include every playoff series Rudy Gobert's ever played in. You look at all the talent you have in Los Angeles or in Phoenix. People are going to be tricked by these teams. They're fun teams. They're interesting teams. They can't make the NBA Finals. Terrifying for a series or two. LeBron, Luka, AD, Kyrie. Both of these teams for a week, for 2 weeks, for a month even, can look awesome. And you can feel like, man, Yeah, the best player on the court. They might have the best duo on the court. Can either of these teams win three straight series, let alone four straight series? The Lakers with their rotations and the lack of defense at times and the coaching, the Mavs with just the outright, you know, allergy to defense lately? The answer is probably not. But you don't want to see them across from you in the bracket at any point. Next, lurking with questions. For Philly, they're lurking because of how good they looked when Embiid was there, how great Embiid was playing. But the questions are Embiid's health and Embiid's playoff history. For OKC, it is just so much youth. And by the way, I've been saying that the Thunder, that SGA has never made the playoffs. That's obviously not true. They made the playoffs when they had Chris Paul. Since they have been this, the young Thunder core, they haven't played in the postseason. But with Chet and Jalen Williams and SGA, they on paper look really good. The questions are lack of experience. Oddly, for the Sixers, the question is all the experience being bad. Wildly undervalued. Milwaukee and Miami for obvious reasons. Milwaukee did what everybody asked them to do. Keep Giannis being awesome, add a closer. They've done that, and maybe they upgraded it, coach. I don't know. The Doc stuff is confusing, but there were real questions with Budenholzer. And Miami is just Miami, which around this time every year starts turning it around and is terrifying in the playoffs. And right now nobody believes in either one of them. So this is wildly undervalued. Wild's juggernaut, Denver. I think they're really good. Wilds thinks they're inevitable. I think Joker's one of the two best players in the league. Wilds and many others think he is head and shoulders the best player in the league. They are right now the clear-cut favorite to win the West. For a lot of people, they're the favorite to win the championship. And then, wild expectations. And that is the Boston Celtics. Mm-hmm. They are right now a minus money favorite brew against the field in the Eastern Conference. Mm. They are a huge favorite, just 2-1, to win the entire thing. Wow. They have the fourth best point differential in the history of the NBA, and they are the first team ever to win three games by 50 plus points. They're at the top of the first edition of the 2024 NBA Tiers Brew.
Yeah, that was very good. I love the names. The names are good. And even if I disagree with where some of the teams are ranked,
can
the
I tell
names
you something?
Are good. Yeah.
The one person that's on both committees is Harold, our English major. Because you don't have to know the sports to be able to good with the, be a wordsmith. So, you know, he's on both. But go ahead.
And I got a secret for you.
Yeah,
I came up with the tough out.
No, okay.
I was on the phone last night at the Midnight Oil.
Go ahead.
All right, but anyway, I'm going to go with OKC, and you said a lot of it.
Oh, okay.
I love everything about them. Everything. Except the youth and
the
experience.
You want to move them down? I thought you were going to say move them up.
I think they're a little too high. Look, I said yesterday, and you agree with me, I believe, I would take the Lakers over them in a playoff series. I probably, Phoenix, if they're healthy, and certainly Book and KD, and the Clippers. I think I would take all of them over OKC.
All the old teams.
Yeah. I mean, the experience, I think, is going to be a big deal. You mentioned SGA. SGA and Lu Dort are really their only players with any playoff experience, and that's minimal.
Yep.
And then, I mean, Holmgren is going to be a star, if not a superstar. He's a rookie. Obviously, Josh Giddey hadn't been there yet, and Williams. So, I just think they're too young to love and all the teams, if you look at it, everybody with them is a veteran-laden team that's got some, I mean, up the Sixers obviously got Embiid and the championship coach. So I would just move them down a little bit. But
so we did see, you know, a very young Thunder team a decade ago go on a deep playoff run. Even the distinction of there, of course, is as great as SGA is, he's not Kevin
Durant.
Those
are three MVPs.
Those were three guys who now, and listen, the Thunder might have two guys that win an MVP eventually. SGA could win it this year. I know Wild's Chet has high expectations for Chet. So I understand that. I do, and this is where I'm going to be, I don't want to say hypocritical, but I'm going to do something I've accused other people of doing. I am more comfortable holding the Timberwolves playoff failures and Gobert's playoff failures against them than the Thunder, who's just kind of a blank slate. You know, their lack of experience against them. And so, but I understand your point. Wilds?
So you're giving Jordan credit for not losing any playoff games when he retired from baseball? Yeah, exactly.
Wolves, I wholeheartedly kind of believe in the Wolves. Just because
I like the standings. I know it's not USA Today. That's the power rankings. But they are the best team, and I think we have to give them some credit for being the best team.
Brew, what is this not?
It's not the power rankings. I know. It's not going down to the hotel lobby and getting the USA Today.
Yeah, it's not the standings.
And then what is wholeheartedly kind of?
Yeah. Wholeheartedly kind of.
All right, go ahead. Sorry, Wiles. I didn't.
Well, you remember during football season, I came up with a lot of things. One of the things I came up with that came true was defense wins championships. That's also applicable to the NBA. Defense with Rudy. We have moved past the Rudy Gobert trade is the worst trade in NBA history. That seems to be in the rearview mirror. It's like, wow, actually working. You guys are in first place. Works. How about winning on the road? Good in Minnesota. Everybody's good at home. They also have the best road record. So that's working. The offense is good on better on the road, oddly. So that works too. How about chemistry? We talk about, hey, maybe the Suns haven't played enough together. The Big Three only played 26 games last year. They're way more this year, and they're playing better. Now, the caveat here, and to use one of Brew's phrases, silly team, okay? The most recent silly, like, is this championship basketball not showing up for tip? Probably not. This is on the heels, of course, the earlier silly incident where they kind of were more interested in Cat scoring 70-plus than winning the game, and then the coach ripped everybody after a loss.
Or last year in the final regular season game of the year when one of their guys punched a wall and broke his hand.
Yeah, the silly
Or shortly class. After that when Carl Anthony Towns, what did he say, Wilds? That what they did was more impressive than what Denver did?
Yeah, that wasn't great.
And that he and that he's the greatest shooting big man of all time.
Yeah,
and then the veteran who's, you know, been in the playoff wars, Rudy Gobert, who famously, you know, pre-mocked a pandemic and then also, well, no, he did, and he coughed on people's microphones. He's a kind of a silly fella. And
silly
team.
Don't get me wrong.
And silly.
They're gonna have their opponent. They have silliness. They have get over
both. League leaders in silliness.
They're silly.
And
they are
so
the silliest.
They're one of the sillier teams.
Well, they're
but maybe they lock in.
Okay.
Bad in Washington. You know what? Real talk. One of their problems is offense too.
Yeah,
they don't score.
14th in offense,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'll believe it when it happens. But the can you believe it? Rudy Gobert's team's got the number one seed and the best defense in basketball. What could go wrong? And the answer is the playoffs start.
Yeah.
So so we'll see.
Okay. Concern about the Celtics collapse? No.
Okay.
Were you? A little?
I'm going to bite my tongue right now.
Okay. Celtics were up by 22 in the fourth, ended up losing to the Cavs. Somewhat controversial end of the game. Tatum tried to hit this fallaway jumper, and initially it was a foul. Upon further review, no foul. Tatum still contends he was fouled. And he said, you know what, we would have had the tip, which I don't think so. Here's Jalen, not taking anything for granted. Take a listen.
I think we are a much better team than we showed today. And today was just a mentality. This is a mentality loss, I think. Like, we had the game, and then we got comfortable. So it was more of a mindset thing than the X's and O's. We got to just be, you know, the more disciplined, the more militant team, to be focused. And we weren't that, and usually we are that. We felt that today.
I like it. Very similar to Jamal Murray.
Sure.
Locked in. Celtics lost something or nothing.
Something in only, in my opinion, one regard. But first, Brew, here's the bright side for Jason Tatum not being the face of the league and not being a front page MVP candidate. This barely gets in the show.
Oh, come on.
No. What are we talking about? The face of the league guys. Face of the league guys get killed for this. The other guys, there's a plus and negative to everything in life.
Fair.
This is one of these things is fair. You can blow a 22-point lead and once again be bad, you know, take a bad shot in the final minute of a game, and it doesn't go unspoken about, but you don't get killed for it.
Won 11 in a row.
Correct, which is why the only something about it is this. And this is via Tom Haberstroh, his Substack. People should subscribe. There's good data on there. Tatum's bad in the clutch.
Yeah.
And he has been for three straight years. He's 38% effective field goal percentage in the clutch. Of the 29 players with the most shots in the clutch, he's 27th. Ugh. The other MVP candidates, this is, again, all via Tom Haberstroh, 62%, 61%, 59%, 54%. Those four guys ahead of him, he's at 38%. On threes, Brew, over the last 3 years in the clutch, 19%. And he does a lot of Kobe stuff, but what made Kobe Kobe was Kobe took terrible shots and could make them. And so the only reason it's something is, as great as the Celtics are, they're not good at close
late. I got
late.
A graphic that supports you. This season, he's fourth worst in the clutch. I mean, Clay is old. The other guys are role players. I know you love Wagner, but he's right there, too. So, I mean, that's an issue. I'm with you, Nick. Look, I think that Jaylen Brown did a good job sounding the alarm. I'm just right. You love Wagner. He was in your tiers a year ago. Where was he at?
It was 55 guys when he was on there. It was a giant pyramid.
I think you meant his brother, too. I don't know. But anyway, they won 11 straight. You're not going to jump. We're not going crazy over one loss. Even you give up a big lead, today's NBA, it's just crazy. I mean, that happens. But you're right, Nick. That's one reason it's something, because that's a trend. All right, Jason, they blow teams out.
Yep.
So nobody really, other than the numbers crunchers, have noticed how bad Tatum is in the clutch, because it's not really that big of a deal for them. Hmm. But that's why they're 2-3 in overtime games, and they're 4-5 in three-point games. Okay, because their best player struggles in the clutch. And the other thing is, their reliance on the three ball, man, over-reliance, I should say. They lead the league in three-point attempts. Well, I just – look, last night they were hot the first three quarters, 15 for 30 from three. Fourth quarter, 0 for 8. And how many free throw attempts? One in the whole fourth quarter.
I agree with this.
So at times you got to just – if the three ball is not going, take it to the rack and get fouled. Now, here's what's interesting to me about this, and you guys know I like baseball. In baseball, you see, with the analytics, a lot of times it's great over 162 games. But in a short playoff series, right, it's not always great because the players are different and so on and so forth. The Celtics are interesting because they're going all in on the analytics. We're shooting all these threes. We got 5 3-point shooters on the court pretty much all the time.
That's why they've
won. You have to guard us.
53 games by 50 points.
Now, how's that going to work? And it might work. And if it works, you're going to see a bunch of copycats around the league. But if it doesn't work, in a shortened series where the team has more time to prepare for you, zero in on you, the defense is better, it's a little more physical, the refs are letting you play, will it work? I don't mind them shooting so many threes because they hit a lot of them. But when it's not working, you have to be comfortable going to something else. And I'm not totally confident that they are.
You talked me off the Celtics just now.
He did. Well, so I don't mind the reliance on the three as much as you do. I understand what you're saying. And by the way, we've seen it. The 2018 Rockets have bit them. The 2018 Rockets were a 65-win team whose peak James Harden. I understand Chris Paul got hurt. But what happened, even when Chris Paul got hurt, they were up 15 on the Warriors. And the variance came for him. They missed 27 consecutive threes. Right. And now you can be like, man, how often is that going to happen? And the answer is like once in a lifetime, but it got you at the worst possible time. And they never took the easy, I don't want to say took the easy bucket, but they.
A mid-range jumper or something like that. But
that doesn't concern me as much as the Tatum end of game stuff. So you guys know I do not believe the best player has to take the last shot. I think it needs to make the best play.
Absolutely.
But one of the things LeBron would do historically throughout his career and in those end of game situations, sometimes he would take a tough jump shot, but usually he would go to the hoop.
Yep.
And if the defense, you know, came to him, he would then kick it out for someone to take an open shot. Or if he drew the defense,
Derrick White's wide open.
Exactly. And so there is an element of I said the Kobe thing. If people look at the data on Kobe's efficiency on those shots, it's not good. And it's because nobody is great
at the double-teamed contested fadeaway jumper. Just being mediocre at it makes you great. Mm. And so it's just not a high-percentage play, even from Kobe, one of the eight greatest players of all time. So it's going to, you know, Tatum's going to struggle with it.
Okay. Celtics in Denver tomorrow night.
Huge.
Double must win, Wiles?
Double must win. It's what we're calling a tattoo game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, really?
Maybe.
Wow.
See, we know what you...
NBA Predictions Week starts next week. Nick now in front. That's nice.
I said to leave Brew there. I told them, take Wilds out of there and put Brew there.
early predictions. Brew just ripped the Celtics' entire strategy and analytics group apart. So I feel like you're not on the Celtics. You need a new team.
You might be wrong. You might be wrong.
Metal time.
I'm just giving them some food for thought.
Cavs Celtics. This is Darius Garland. Oop, snatch back. Hauser, it's on the ground all of a sudden. Cavs win this one. Snap the Celtics' 11-game winning streak. Buckle up, because I saw an early preview of Metals. Not to give it away.
Bronze.
Dusty.
Luka.
Get the book.
39, 10, and 11. But they allow 137, which is why you can only get a bronze, because they lose. The Pacers are the best team in the league at exploiting a bad defense. If you have a bad defense, Pacers are going to put 140 on you.
Well, they can score.
They're going to score. Silver, Grayson Allen. You know, I'm not really a big Grayson Allen fan, but I got to give him credit in this regard. He got shooting 48% from three on damn near a half dozen a game. Shout out to Grayson Allen. He had 8 last night.
This year having his
and then a goal.
Get I don't know if you can get it. My feet are on the desk. We're in the small.
The desk.
My feet are on the desk.
Shingu.
Yeah, baby.
45. 16.
Against two. The
five.
Defensive player of the year.
Against Hakeem Olajuwon.
A rookie. That's who.
Come on.
New to the country.
He said he was better than Hakeem Olajuwon yesterday.
No, will be.
Check the tape.
Will be.
There's the metal. There it is. There's the metal stand from last night.
Pelicans beat the Raptors by 40 last night. Zion was asked about possibly participating in the dunk contest. Here's what he said.
I got to do my part and make the All-Star game. If I'm in the All-Star game, I'll do the dunk contest. But if I'm not, I'm not doing it.
I mean, totally fair take.
Feel like he's blackmailing us.
True?
Right. What? Would he resurrect the dunk contest?
Yeah. I don't think the dunk contest is really totally broken.
No, I don't either. But I think you need two teams for great things, for one of two things. Big names or non-stars who are just fantastic dunkers. Zach LaVine, Aaron Gordon,
Mac McClung.
Yeah. But Zion would make it interesting, even if he didn't have the greatest dunks in history. It would be interesting because
he would
Zion.
Just dunk it so, yeah. really hard.
That's what he'd do.
He could have won the dunk contest when he was in high school. I love to see it. Yeah.
He's